Okay, let's get us started. Hello and welcome to the 6 month Revenue Accelerator. This is call number one, and I'm very excited to be presenting the call today because I think you're going to find some incredible strategies to start locating more deals for yourself. Now that means more clients, more customers, more opportunities, and I'm going to share with you over the next 60 minutes the ways that I have really built all my businesses. I'll say the 12 juiciest ways that I have built my businesses. Now this is part one of two calls that we'll be doing on locating juicy deals. And at this point, you should have the handouts, which are a PDF form in front of you, and you can follow along. I'll try to let you know where I am, but you're gonna be filling in some of these sentences, keep you attentive, keep you engaged, but also give you notes for the future. And just to highlight the things that I think are some of the most important points of what I'm going to be talking about today. So let's just start with, why is it important to locate juicy deals, and what is a juicy deal? Well, look, a juicy deal is essentially just a great deal. It's a great client. It's a great deal for you. It's something that is, let's call it juicy, full of profit, so you can be earning more. And that's what this entire Revenue Accelerator program is all about. It's about actually ending up with more money in your bank account. So on this program, I'm going to be giving you tactical ways that I increase our revenue, especially, look, every business goes through successful times and droughts. And when you're going through a drought, you will refer back to this from now forever so that you can always get back in action and make sure to take care of any financial drought that you're having, either in your business life or in your personal life. So let's jump over to the first page. And there are two ways that we can locate juicy deals. There are what we call cost ways, in other words, ways that you can spend money on marketing, and there are non-cost ways to locating juicy deals, okay? We are going to focus on, and I'm sure you're happy about this, we're gonna be focusing on the non-cost ways. In other words, I wanna share with you a whole bunch of ways that you can be creating more opportunity for yourself, creating more clients, more customers, having more joint venture opportunities or more exposure, whatever the deal is, whether you're looking for real estate deals or investment deals or companies that you're looking to buy or just more customers or clients. We're going to focus on the non-cost ways. Why? Well, when you have more cash, you know, it opens up a new channel of marketing and a new channel of lead generation, which is what, you know, locating a juicy deal is all about. It's about lead generation, creating a lead or an opportunity. And it's much easier when you have money because you can be spending money on, you know, marketing budgets, on ad buying, on, let's call it ad buying is a huge one, but also maybe buying lists. Anyways, so I'm assuming that if you're listening to this, you might be in either a drought or a cash strap situation. And that's very normal for a lot of companies or people that are building their businesses or people that have not necessarily studied, professionals that have not necessarily studied very good lead gen or sales tactics. So that's cool. That's why you're here. And so I'm going to really focus us on the non-cost solutions, which I think you'll probably appreciate. In other words, these are all ways that you don't have to put in any money in order to get more opportunities. And specifically, I'm going to talk about 12 strategic ways that I do non-cost lead generation that are very effective. And I hope you'll find actually many that you are surprised about. You know, obviously, I'd like to think that many of these techniques are lesser known techniques. And so I'm going to not only step you through these 12 strategic ways over this first call, I'm also going to help you a little bit on how to execute on them. And then moving into the second call, we're going to be spending a lot of time on the actual execution of each of these so you can make sure you're doing them well. So let's flip over to the next page, which is way number one. So you should be looking at the PDF or slide that says way number one. Now the first way, and I love this way because this is so underutilized by so many companies. I'll tell you that if you are in our private coaching or private or Industry Rockstar private mentorship program, we might have actually even discussed this way with you on one of your first calls because this is a powerful way to immediately create more cash or more opportunities. And this is from your current database. Okay, your current database is essentially everybody that's in your current phone book, in your current email list, or anybody that is currently on your database to talk to, anybody that you have the permission to talk to. Now, your database could be current customers or current clients or current business partners or current people that you've done deals with, or it could actually be past customers that maybe you haven't talked to in a while. It could be people that you've done business with over the lifetime of your business or over the time of doing deals, but you haven't talked to them in a while. So you might have, let's say, 50 or 100 active or current clients, but then if you go back through the lifetime of your database, you may have 500 or 1,000 people that you've worked with over the last 10 years. Or if you've really spent time developing your database, you could be having thousands and thousands or tens of thousands of people, right? You know, we spend every day cultivating and building our database of new clients. And this is very important. It, by the way, you should always be developing your database. Now, there are three ways to start to use your database to get more leads or more juicy deals. The first one is to ask for referrals. And I will share with you that this is often very underutilized and one of the most powerful ways to build a business, find new great deals in investing or anything. Just in general, asking for referrals actively and consistently is very important. I cannot tell you how many business owners I coach and work with who, when I say to them, when's the last time you asked for referrals from your current clients? They say, well, never. I say, okay, well, it's time to start asking for referrals. Now, you have two types of referrals. You have active referrals and you have passive referrals. And active referrals means that you're actively asking, whereas passive referrals is where your clients go, hey, you know, you don't even know, but they just refer you. They say to their friends, you got to go meet this man or woman, or you got to go talk to them. They do an awesome job at whatever it is. That's called passive referrals. And that is a little bit more of an affiliate program. We'll talk about that later. But right now, I want you to be thinking about how often are you asking for active referrals? Now, what's the actual action on this? What you do is you got to actually call people up in your phone book or email people and say, hey, I'm looking to expand my business, or I'm looking for new deals. I'm looking for juicy new deals, and I'd love for you to help me out. Now, we'll talk next time about a little bit of a script, but just to get you started on asking for active referrals, make sure you always identify who is the target market that you're trying to reach. So who's the decision maker that you want to reach? So if you call someone and you say, I need to reach someone, tell them who the decision maker is that you need to actually connect with. And then ask them, who do they know in their database or in their world that should either know about you or should want the results that you produce? So this is the key, the target decision maker and the results that you produce. Now, if you came through our sales course, then of course we've talked about this. This is active networking, and I want you to be actively doing this consistently between this call and next time. Also, keep a journal. If you find that you're resistant to asking for referrals, if you notice you get a little emotional or hesitant, or you have some sort of, you know, fears or concerns, keep a journal, write that down, and bring that to this mastermind, these calls, because we want to talk about that and help you move past that or clear some of that stuff so you become more active in referrals. You should know that I've built 4 of my international companies specifically just on asking for referrals on a daily basis from everybody that I know and everybody that I'm working with. And I would go back to the same clients about every 3 months and ask them for new referrals. That's because people are always meeting new people and they're always doing new business. And so just because you asked somebody 2 or 3 months ago doesn't mean that they wouldn't have someone new that you could be getting referred to in their database today. So consistently ask for them. So we'll move on from that. The next thing that you can do with current customers in your database is you can resell them on your services. In other words, you may have customers that have been dormant for a while or haven't been actively working with you. Maybe you're a coach or a consultant and they were satisfied with your work, but they just haven't been working with you in the last 3 to 6 months. Well, call them up, chat with them, see how they're doing, and you can find out if it's a good time to reinitiate work with them together. Maybe you are in the health industry, or maybe you're a contractor of some sort. Or, you know, anything that you do, if you talk to older clients, it's a good opportunity to say, hey, maybe we should do some more work together. The next and last way that we use and mine for juicy deals in our database is we create something to upsell our current customers in. This is essentially what we call an ascension model. And if you've come through our industry Rockstar Intensive course, we actually spend a bit of time helping you craft up an ascension model. For this call, what I want you to start to think about is, what is your ascension model? In other words, if you have an active customer and they're already working with you on something, or you have a long-term satisfied customer, what could you upsell them on that would be a more expensive option than what they signed up for? Because, I mean, let's face it, if you've delivered a great product or service and their life or business has benefited from it, they're a perfect person to ask to invest in a higher-end service with you. What's a good upsell? For example, you could offer them a retreat with you. Okay, you could offer them a live in-person retreat where you take your best clients and you travel somewhere and you engage them in whatever it is, whether you do consulting or whether you're sharing your advice with them or whether you're getting them together to do something for them, a done-for-you service. You could simply invite them to an event, a dinner, or a seminar that you're hosting. It could be a webinar, depending on what you actually have sold them in the first place. Okay, and you'll have to, you know, arrange this or craft it into your business so it suits your exact customers. But start to think about, what could you be upselling your current customer base on? So imagine this. Imagine you call all of your customers in your database that you have, or you email everybody, and you either ask for a referral, or you resell them on working with you again, or you upsell them on a new, more expensive product. This in itself, I'll tell you that I've worked with so many business owners who do this. I'll give you just one example. We worked with a printing company where they came in, they were doing about $500,000-$600,000 a year, and they came to us for coaching to expand their business. In the very first meeting, we explained this and had them go into their database for 2 weeks and do this. In the first 2 weeks, they created an extra $30,000 in new work, and over, I think, 4 or 5 months, I think it was just about the 5 month mark, they had literally put an extra $500,000 on their bottom line, because there was so much money in their database that they weren't actually mining. New referrals that came up, new clients, they were able to upsell them on things, resell clients back into new programs. It was awesome. So I want you to be using this. Now, one last caveat before we move on from this technique. When you're asking for referrals, remember, you don't have to just be asking for a referral for a client or a new customer. You could, of course, be asking for a referral for a joint venture partner, someone that will help you. And we're going to talk about JVs later today. Or you could actually be asking for a referral to a speaking engagement or some sort of group that you can go present your products or services at. Or if you're looking for deals, investment deals, you could be asking for a referral to an event organizer or a group organizer that you can connect with to then create an opportunity to go speak in front of people. And, you know, look, of course, this mastermind is not about becoming a good public speaker, but let's just put it this way. If you simply put yourself out there and go and present something, you are likely to create a whole lot more opportunity. And I can't share with you how much opportunity exploded for all of my companies when I started speaking, you know, 15, 16 years ago. And then, of course, as I created a speaking company, one of my favorite things about speaking is simply just the people that I meet and the opportunities. I'm constantly having people pitch me on great business ideas and great business opportunities. Being in front of groups of people is a great way to leverage your time for juicy, juicy, juicy deals. Okay, let's move on to way number two. Way number two, so you should be looking at your third page here, your way number two slide, is friends and family. Friends and family are often underused for people. And that is because so often they think, well, these are my friends, this is my family. I can't ask them to do things for me. Au contraire though, because actually, you have a tremendous amount of emotional equity built up in your friends and family. I mean, these are people who already love you, okay? I know they love you because they're your family and friends. And emotional equity, I want you to write that term down, emotional equity, if you haven't heard me say that before, because your income or your revenue is going to be exactly in proportion to the amount of emotional equity you have with the people in your database, and that includes your friends and family. So what is emotional equity? Emotional equity is essentially people experiencing good things when engaging with you. They experience value when they engage with you. In other words, they like it. They want more of it. When they see you, maybe they learn something really cool. Maybe you give them something free. I mean, a very basic example is if you invite a friend over to dinner and you cook a nice dinner for them, that friend is going to automatically feel like you gave them something cool. They're going to feel immediately like they want to reciprocate. And by the law of reciprocation, the more you give to somebody, the more they feel compelled to reciprocate. Well, friends and family have huge emotional equity from you because they already love you. So the first line there in the handout here, what I want you to consider doing is using your friends and family as connectors. And I know the term use friends and family. I know that's not maybe the most politically correct term, but you know, just put that aside. We're not saying use them. We're saying, you know, utilize them as a connection to somebody else that they can connect you to. Friends and family will be the first people that will say, hey, I should definitely get you connected. And it's funny because I have had conversations with clients where they said, well, my brother has never understood what I do and he's the last person to connect me on. Well, okay, it's time to connect with your family and make sure that they're clear about what you do, because I just have to assert that your friends and family would love to help you. If they're not helping you already, they may just not be clear about what you need. In other words, who's the decision maker you need to reach and what are the results that you produce for people? Which takes us to our second line in the slide here, which is you might have to reposition yourself in their eyes. In other words, your friends and family know you as you. You know, I'm the youngest of three children, and when I used sort of family as connectors, I remember my older brother, who's 10 years older than me, I was asking him who he knew when I started coaching. You know, I don't know, 12, 13 years ago, I used to say, hey, Kirk, who do you know in your world that is a business owner that wants to increase their business success? And he goes, Kane, I used to change your diapers. You know, like, I can't even take this conversation seriously. So I had to reposition myself in his eyes. And of course, although I was very close with my brother, I had to, you know, remind him, look, you know, Kirk, I've spent the last 7 years building my own businesses, studying coaching modalities. Like, I really find I have this passion and talent. As I repositioned himself in his eyes, you know, back when I was 25, 26 years old, he started to get that I'm actually shifted into a new place. And it's the same thing that they often teach parents, that as your child grows naturally, you have to start to reshape your relationship from maybe being a father or mother to becoming a bit more of a friend or supporter, right? So you may have to reposition yourself in their eyes. The next thing with friends and family is ask consistently. Continue to ask your friends and family, because we find so many people say, well, you know, you don't do business with friends and family. And that, I think, is a very unfortunate belief for those who carry that, because I actually believe quite the opposite, which is most people that I do business with become my friends, and my friends I essentially call my family. I mean, I realize there's blood family and friend family, but I get so close with my clients and the people that I work with, the people at my companies, the people that I, my colleagues, my private clients, I get so close with them that I would essentially call them family. And so if I never did business with my friends or family, I'd never have anybody to ask about connections or partnerships, or, you know, if I need to locate or find somebody, I'd never have anybody to ask. So start to notice that people become your friends because they love to spend time with you and they're happy to help you. They want to support you. Just like if a great friend of yours came to you and said, hey, how can you help me? Who can you connect me with? Who do you know that could become a client? You would be happy to refer them because you know them, you trust them, you know their heart's in the right place. So ask them consistently. And the very last thing I have down here, which I think you'll all love, is if you need to, use guilt, okay? And occasionally I'll put the pressure on in the family to say, look, you know, come on, I'm your brother here, help me out. Or if you go to mom or go to dad, you know, come on, you say you always want to help me, here's your chance. And it's a little bit of a joke, but it's also a little bit of truth, because sometimes family may not be in the world of referrals, even though they have the most emotional equity with you. And so sometimes I use a little guilt to just say, look, let's move this along here. I've been your friend for 10 years. Give me a break here. Who do you know in your database? You know, I need to expand my business. I need to get some things going. And by the way, you may notice that I'm very upfront. When I call my friends or family, or I call my clients, I say to them, hey, I'd like to know how you are. I always do a little chit chat at the beginning and get to know how they are. Of course, it's about that human connection. But then I say, look, let me be direct. I'm calling you today because I want to expand my business. I want to create new clients or have new speaking engagements. So who do you know who's X target market, who's looking for this result? I'm just very direct because in business, we need to move things forward. Okay, let's flip to way number three. Way number three is cold calling. And I know if I could hear you all, there'd be some groans on the phone going, oh, cold calling. I hate cold calling. But here's the thing. A lot of people hate cold calling because they just have never really been either trained or comfortable in it. And in fact, I remember that when I started my first media company, my coach came in and said, okay, the first way we're going to build this company and bring revenue in here is call everyone in your database. which, by the way, at that time was only friends and family. So there we go, way number one, way number two already. And then I said, well, why don't I start cold calling? Because I was running a media company. We were just getting started, of course. We had very little credibility in the industry. But I wanted to work with the big players in the industry, and I had no connections. I wanted to start making more money. We were only making, I don't know, $500 or $1,000 a month at that time, which was nothing. But we were just getting started, okay? Talking 22 years old here, I was broke on the couch, if you remember that story. And I wanted to get things moving fast because I didn't want to be living on my couch very long. So I said, well, why don't I just start cold calling? Because I don't have that many contacts in my phone book. And I remember my coach saying, well, you know, cold calling is not really usually that very effective. And I thought, okay, well, they're the masters, so I'll just do what they asked me to do. And I did start with my database and calling friends and family. And that did start bringing in some work, but at some point I ran out. And so I just started picking up the phone and cold calling. Now, where did I find clients or people to cold call? Well, I just did some trolling on the internet. Okay, just use Google, and that's the wonderful thing of the internet today is that you can get so much information about potential clients, customers, or partners, or investment groups that you want to reach. You can just go online and find their contact information, and you just cold call them. So as you're looking at way number three here on this slide, I'm going to start going through the details of what I think is very important about cold calling. In cold calling, when you cold call, which essentially means you just call up somebody who has no idea who you are, directly out of the cold, you can actually take them from a cold lead to a warm lead very quickly. And the wonderful thing about this is the better you become at cold calling, you really just open up the world as your oyster. Because you can call anybody anywhere in the world cold and start getting through to them. And I'll tell you that, you know, this is an art, right? It's a way of you get into it, you work the muscle, you start to learn what works and what doesn't work for you. But if you hang in there like anything, like learning a language or, you know, learning, getting into a new fitness routine or a new diet, you know that when you move past the hard parts, you really start to become great at this. And the cool thing about cold calling is if you can call up anybody in the world and navigate into a warm conversation, turn them into a warm lead, you become extremely powerful in moving very quickly and always being able to secure juicy deals. So the first line here on this slide that's blank says, credibility is everything. And that's one of the most important things for you to remember when cold calling, because when you call somebody cold, the first question they're going to be asking themselves is, who is this person? Can I trust this person? Is this person worth talking to? And so you want to start at the top, dropping a couple of points about who you are and your credibility. And you just kind of do it quickly, but you do it with some credibility so that they know you mean business. Okay? So if you've written a book recently, you may want to call up someone and say, hey, this is John whoever, and you know, I just finished my book that I'm releasing this month in March, and I wanted to chat with you about you having the kind of results that I just wrote about in my 200-page book that's going to be in every bookstore coming in March. Okay, maybe it's a book release. Maybe you just did something really awesome in your last business. Maybe you just created a really awesome investment portfolio, or you did a really awesome investment, you got an incredible return on it. Either way, credibility is about results. So when you cold call, make sure you start right at the top with your name, full name, so there's transparency. Hi, this is your full name. And then you drop a quick thing of credibility, and then you get right to the point as to why you're calling, and you ask them if they'd be open to or curious to have a conversation about that. There's a couple of important things that I also want you to remember. This is the next line on the slide. You must be casual and relaxed on the call. The people who cold call and they do it casually and they have fun and they just play, they have a far better result. So when you call up someone cold, just be casual, have some fun. Sound like you're someone who's a human being. You don't have to call up with a major script or with a real, you know, intense thing like, I gotta do it or this is gonna be difficult. Because of course, if you come on with that kind of demeanor, then the person who doesn't know you is gonna go, wow, this is like an intense call and I don't think I really want that. Remember, people are always buying into the experience of you. So the question is always, do I want more or less of the experience I'm having? And if you call somebody up and you're casual and you're relaxed and you mention to them, hey, you know, you're someone that's been doing some cool stuff in the world and you'd love to talk to them more about, you know, how you could help them and support them, which is another major point. Make sure you're talking about them and you make sure you let them know that you're calling them to help them and support them in something that they want in their lives. Now, you may not know what that is at the moment, but then you might say, so let's talk about that. What is that in light of what you know about me? How might I help you? People love to talk about themselves, and who wouldn't want a telephone call out of the blue of somebody who's credible and talented saying, hey, I found you, and I'd love to help you. How can I help you? I mean, we'd all love that. The next thing to notice is that consistent flow in that conversation is going to be important until you reach what we call a social hook point. In other words, when somebody doesn't know who you are, being a little bit more, let's call it, willing to generate the conversation is extremely important. You want to have a consistent flow and be willing to talk. So if you feel, you know, and every one of you on this call could talk about things for hours and hours without any interruption in your flow. However, we notice that sometimes when people get a little nervous or concerned, the flow stops being so flowy. So one of the best ways to create a consistent flow is to start getting your gears going, right? You know, some people, which I don't recommend this, but some people, of course, use things like, you know, coffee in the morning. They get up in the morning, they use coffee, and they say, hey, I got to drink my coffee before I can get going. And that kind of stimulates their brain and their mind. I would recommend, you know, maybe slightly healthier options, not that I have anything against coffee, but just some slightly healthier options are to start calling friends and people that you have good rapport with and start chatting with them about your business. It starts getting your flow going. Okay, and the last thing I want you to consider about cold calling as you attempt doing this over this revenue period is see it as a game. Just see it as a game. You're just playing a game and just be unattached to the results. So if you cold call people, say, hey, it's a game. I want to see how many people I can turn into warm leads. How many people can I have that start by thinking I'm super weird and go to thinking I'm super cool? And just be unattached from the results. Just say, look, you know, hey, I'm going to give it a go. I'll call 10 people and, you know, whatever happens, happens. That kind of casual, unattached approach with a consistent flow, adding in some credibility and focusing on the person is a very effective way to make cold calling a wonderful way to find juicy deals. Okay, let's move on to way number four, the next slide. Way number four is speaking engagements, and I chatted a little bit about this earlier on. So I'm going to kind of bullet through this because I think essentially, if you're not booking speaking engagements, you should know it is the best way to find juicy deals. Why? Because it leverages your time. If you're standing in front of 50 people or 25 people or even 5 people, or imagine even larger, hundreds of people, 200, 300, or 1,000 or 10,000 people, you can't imagine the amount of opportunity you have because you have so many different people in the audience with so many different resources, abilities, and things happening. So what you should know is that there are tons of local opportunities. There are tons in every major city, everywhere in the world. There are tons of groups that are meeting consistently. And what I want you to do with speaking engagements is I want you to first plan on speaking on somebody else's stage. Okay, so plan on speaking on other people's stages first. Now, what does that mean? Other people's stages or in other people's groups. In other words, you could be arranging your own speaking engagements, which is fine if you feel comfortable and confident filling up a room and putting bums on seats. But it's not necessary, and the thing is that it'll be far less expensive, and, you know, essentially free, if you are speaking at other people's groups. Now, I realize that so for some of you, public speaking is very terrifying, and for others of you, it's absolutely no big deal. And then, you know, you might be somewhere in between. Maybe it's a little bit scary, but you're willing to do it. Either way, I recommend you start to engage and do this. If it's really scary for you, start with small groups, 2, 3, or 4 people. If you're comfortable with it, let's get you into 20, 25, and 50-person groups. Now, your natural question would be, okay, great, so how do I find groups to go speak at? I want you to be using Google to be searching in your area for local meetup groups, okay? You can be searching for entrepreneur groups. You can be searching for business groups or any group that is a specific target market to what you do. If you have a specific niche, like, for example, if you work only with dentists or something like that, get on Google and look up associations, conferences, or groups that are dentists that meet regularly. And by regularly, I mean once a quarter, once every 6 months, or once a year. In every major city, you're going to find that there are so many groups you could be speaking every single night, probably 12 different locations. Another place that you can find great groups is meetup.com, and that's spelled M-E, E as in Edward, E as in Edward, T as in Tom, U as in Umbrella, P as in Peter. That's meetup.com. And meetup.com is usually in every major city across the world. There are some major cities that don't have it as developed as others. But if they don't use Meetup, there's usually some other meeting website where people are creating local groups. So either Google or Meetup. And I'll tell you that this is how I started my speaking company. Okay. I literally got on Google and got on Meetup and I looked up organizers of groups and I called them up or I wrote them and said, I would love to talk about coming out and doing a short presentation. Normally you want to do between 60 and 90 minutes. And I just called them and said, what do I need to do to get in front of your group? What do you need? How can I best support giving you something cool for your group? Most of the time, they asked for a speaker kit. And so the last line on this slide here is, you will need a speaker kit. Now, what's a speaker kit? Look, it's a very simple 4 or 5 page PDF that you can email to someone that gives you a little information on yourself. I'll give you a quick rundown of what's in it, and then you can create it. The first thing you need is a cover letter that just says, hi, I'm me, and I'm out in the world on this big mission. And, you know, fill in the gaps, whatever else you want to say in a short cover letter. The second thing would be a bio about yourself. So just a bio. It's all about credibility so they know who they're positioning because they will market you based upon your credibility and bio. The third thing is your topic, what you're going to speak about. Okay, a nice juicy title, a little paragraph on what you're going to speak about, 3 to 5 bullet points, and that's it. And if you create one signature talk, in other words, one that you deliver all the time, you can pretty much continue to deliver the same thing over and over again. In a more effective way or a more perfect world, you'd have 3 or 4 talks. But just to get started, we can create one talk and go out and deliver it for 60 or 90 minutes. The last thing you should put in this kit is a bunch of pictures, testimonials of any other groups, any celebrities, of course, if anybody endorses you, any testimonials of clients, or any other groups that you've spoken at that have said, this person's a wonderful presenter. They give a lot of great content. And that's all you need in your speaker kit. You zoom it off to a graphic designer, 100 or 200 pounds or dollars later, and you have a nicely designed speaker kit that you can send out to anybody you connect with. Very inexpensive. I know I said no cost stuff, but I might suggest a couple things that are like, you know, 100 or 200 pounds or dollars. Okay, next way. We're cruising right along. Way number 5, social media. I know you've all heard of it, Facebook and LinkedIn. So very first blank here, use Facebook or LinkedIn. And I'm going to give you some specific ways that I want you to do this. What's great about Facebook or LinkedIn is, of course, it's no cost to get people to actually start to engage with you. Let me give you some specifics of what I'd like you to do that'll be effective for you. We use Facebook globally to not only fill up seminars, but run webinars, to create our databases, to engage communities. So I'm very, 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 very familiar with sort of the cutting edge techniques around using social media. I want to share a couple of super cool points with you that I'd like you to start right away doing. First of all, you really need to be on Facebook. Now, if you are a business to consumer business, in other words, you sell to a consumer or mass market, Facebook is hands down the place for you to be. If you are a business to business type of business, for example, if you only consult, you know, high tech firms, or if you are, you know, doing real estate to real, you know, doing real estate company deals or something specific, maybe you're a fund manager and you're looking for a very specific group of people, then LinkedIn might be a better social media platform for you. There are some businesses where social media doesn't work very well, but those are usually very, very small. For example, hyper niched businesses that they cannot find on LinkedIn or Facebook. Okay, maybe, but almost everybody that is listening to this call should be able to use social media effectively. So you're going to need 2 Facebook pages. One that is under your personal brand, that is personally branded, and one for your company brand. Now, your personal branded page should essentially be your homepage. And your company branded page should, of course, be all about your company. What we've noticed is that personal branded pages are usually more effective at having people engage. But here's what I'd like you to not do. I do not want you to create your personal brand page and put it up there and just be like, hey, here's what I had for dinner last night. Hey, I'm at the airport. Check out this, you know, seat I just saw. I can't believe this crazy guy with purple hair. Like, don't be one of those people posting stupid content, because then you burn the credibility you have with all the people on your list. Now, you might be saying, well, hey, wait a second. Isn't Facebook just for fun and connecting with your friends? Well, I guess so. But if you're in business and you own your own business, you need to use every resource you've got to be successfully creating more business for yourself. So I recommend taking your personal branded page and making it essentially business. Now, it doesn't mean you have to be buttoned up and formal and you can't ever communicate with people in a casual way. As we all know, Facebook is a relatively casual, you know, environment for conversations. But think about it as business, because you're going to have a lot of people that will connect to your personal branded page. If you're not active on Facebook, you need to get active. It's a very important marketplace these days. It's not going away. It's only getting bigger. And, you know, if you're not on Facebook or you resist Facebook, it's kind of like, you know, when the web came out and you said, oh, this thing's just going to be a fad. Well, the web is not a fad, and neither is Facebook. It is a highly, you know, it's like, I think, the second or third largest country in the world by population. So you got to get on Facebook and start managing it. And it's actually quite easy to use if you're not on Facebook. Now, I realize many of you are. So let's talk about how to start to use it effectively. What's most important is you start generating community conversations. What does that mean? It means that I want you to start creating conversations with people that are active on your pages. So on your company page or on your personal page, we need to start engaging conversations. How do you do that? Well, you put up an interesting post like, hey, I just found this new statistic. Where did you find it? I don't know. You Googled it and you found it somewhere. I just found this new statistic on how parents that are the ages 30 to 35 tend to fall into this trap. It's X. What do you think about this? How do you get over this trap? Have you ever known anybody to get in this trap? Share with me your thoughts. And you start engaging the community in interesting conversations. You can also give cool free stuff. You can post ebooks. You can post a video. You can put a link to a cool TED video or some other content that's online that you didn't even create. This starts to generate emotional equity and starts to engage people in who you are. And they start saying, who is this person? What do they do? How can I engage them more? Another way to start to build more of a following on Facebook is you can friend, and I say in quotations friend because you want to go select friend, friend people that you know, so they're friends of yours, to start building your community and then start interacting with their friends. It's essentially an easy way to be doing referrals. So go look up interesting people. How do you know they're interesting? I don't know. Look at their profile picture. I mean, this is why it's important to have a good profile picture, a professional one where you look pretty polished. Because I look on Facebook all the time under my friends to see who I might want to be interacting with. You know, if I'm, you know, on with, you know, people like Frank Kern or Evan Pagan or, you know, the colleagues that I interact with, I might go and look at who looks interesting to connect to. And just by random chance, I will friend them and I might send them a message saying, hey, my friend is your friend. Maybe we should connect and talk about what we do and see if we can help each other. This helps start to build a database for you online. Another way that's very powerful on Facebook is you can join groups online and interact in their communities. So get on there and start interacting with their contests, with their surveys, with their questions. And the last suggestion I'll have around social media is you can post videos on a branded YouTube channel and tag them for SEO optimization. So this is not going to be the highest leverage place you can go, but it does over time actually bring in some good juicy deals, and it's non-paid. So what this means is shoot some videos, create some content out of your information, your knowledge, your expertise. This is what we talk about in the Industry Rockstar Intensive, how to use your information or your expertise in your personal brand to market what you're doing in the world. Shoot some videos, give them a cool tip, could be simple as 2 to 3 minutes, post it up on Vimeo or on YouTube, and make sure you tag everything on that channel with proper SEO optimization terms so that when people search in Google, they may stumble across your video. Okay, we'll shoot over to way number 6. Sorry, by the way, before we leave social media, you might be saying, well, that's great. Now I've got a database on Facebook or LinkedIn, and I've got people. What do I do with it to get a juicy deal? So what I want you to do is then you're going to move people to what we call a one-on-one call or a one-on-one meeting. Offer a strategy session with them or a discovery call or a connection call. So for example, if you've got a community happening on your personal branded Facebook page or your company branded Facebook page, go in there and say at some point, hey, here's what we call a call to action. Hey, I'm doing 5 complimentary calls this week to stoke some new business or because I've discovered a new formula and I'm so excited to share it in the world with whatever I do. Click here on this link and sign up for a free or a complimentary, sorry, don't use the word free, use complimentary, a complimentary session normally valued at £200 or $200 or £500 or $500. Give it a value so they value it. Where does the link go? The link can go to a calendar free online where they can sign up for a one-on-one session with you. Or if you'd like, give them your email address and just have them email you. Now, I realize that it's not hugely, hugely responsive when you do this all the time, but if you've warmed up your database or you've warmed up your people, your community on Facebook, and then you offer them something with a high limiter, 3 or 5 slots only, high value, £500, $500 for this, and I'm only doing 3 of them this week, sign up quickly, you will actually find very good response rates. Okay, let's move on to number 6. Halfway through. I know what you're saying. My goodness, so many great things. At least I hope you're saying that. Way number 6, joint ventures. I love this, and let's talk about how to do these successfully. So what is a joint venture? A joint venture is partnering up with anybody that has great resources that you're lacking. Now, normally a joint venture is essentially a marketing partner. So let's just say, look, if you need more juicy deals, you really probably need more exposure to more leads. And a joint venture would normally have a great list, or they would have a database, or, for example, someone who has a great Facebook page that has, you know, thousands of followers on it. You could have them post your one-on-one complimentary strategy call link on their page, or you can have them send it out an email to their database. So in other words, anybody that has access to what we call eyeballs or access to people where they have emotional equity, you can be doing a joint venture with them. This is one of the most underutilized, I know I've said this about a few things, but this is one of the most underutilized, along with referrals, techniques of business owners in the world. I don't know why people don't use more joint ventures. It's the way we thrive as a seminar company. It's the way we've thrived in every industry that I've ever run a business in, is joint ventures and partnerships. I mean, why try to do it alone? You know, no matter how successful you are, if you go into new territories, you don't have the resources that you need. So you just go partner up. So how do we partner up? Because you might be going, well, what do I have to offer a great joint venture that has a nice database? So let's talk about some ways that you can offer them cool things that get them motivated to engage with you in a partnership. You can offer them a commission on a sale that you're going to do. So you can say, look, I'll give you a percentage when I sell something. So let's follow this pathway, this sequence, step by step through. You notice that a friend of yours has 1,000 or 2,000 friends on their Facebook page. You ask them to post up a link that says you're doing one-on-one strategy sessions for your business. They post it. 5 of their friends sign up on your calendar. You do a strategy session. You offer one-on-one coaching. That coaching, they're going to pay £500 or £1,000 a month or £2,000 or whatever they pay, whatever you choose, £200, whatever you do. From there, when they sign up, you give a commission or a percent of the revenue to your friend or to this joint venture partner. It's nice and simple. So you can offer them a percentage on the sale. And by the way, I would hope that you're selling something, because at the end of the day, if you want to make more money or more revenue, you have to be selling something. That's where the money is made. Now, I will recommend that when you do a joint venture, that you sell something between $50 or £50 to £200. Now, why do I say that? If you're going to be doing it online, it's much easier to sell a lower priced product. Now, this is not an absolute, but I would recommend that if you're going to be selling something, you could be doing it. I should say it like this. If you're going to be automating a sale, in other words, if you want to sell a ticket to your seminar or a ticket to something, you could have your joint venture partner send their friends to a sign-up page where you're offering a $50, let's say a VIP ticket to your seminar or something like that, or a $200 teleseminar series. So I would try to sell something low-priced if you're going to automate it, $50 to $200, and then you give them a percentage of that. So you could go out to a joint venture and say, look, go ahead and offer this to your list. It's a $200 product. Maybe it's a set of books. Maybe it's a DVD series. Maybe it's a one-time coaching session. Whatever it is, you get to make it up. Then when they sell it, you could say, look, and you get to keep 50%. It's $200. You keep $100 or £100 per lead. Okay. Another thing that you could do if you're not into the selling or giving percentages, you can offer reciprocal promotional opportunities. Now, you may be going, but wait a second, Kane, I don't have a big database. But maybe you have a bigger one than you think. Because when you look into your current phone book or database, or you look into your current social media, your Facebook pages and LinkedIn, you might have hundreds or thousands of people that you could actually be doing reciprocal promotions. So you say, look, joint venture partner A, you post my link on your Facebook page, and I'll post your link on my Facebook page. It's called a reciprocal promotion. And you could also do what we call reciprocal email swaps. In other words, they send out an email to their database, and you send out an email to your database. Okay, next couple ideas here on how to make joint ventures work. You can create a free product and go out to their database and just give it away. Free product means you can create it. You can create an ebook on your computer. You can record an audio on your computer. Create a free product, and you can give it to a joint venture to give out to their database so that in the free product, you are referencing and mentioning how to get in touch with you. In fact, I'll just give you an example. We're about to do this with our own database. We have a company that's a technology company that helps business owners outsource their responsibilities, you know, to like the Philippines and India and places that are much, much more affordable than what we call sort of tier one cost outsourcing places. And so this company actually sells a software program to help business owners manage the productivity of their outsourced teams. Because if you're in, let's say, London and you've got a virtual assistant in the Philippines, how do you manage their productivity so they're not just wasting time? Well, in order to get leads without having to pay for them or get juicy opportunities, they wrote a whole ebook, 28 pages, on all the ways to properly outsource and find good virtual assistants. They then hand it off to us. We send it out to our database, the Industry Rockstar database, because it's actually quite a good guide on how to outsource your stuff. Well, from there, in the ebook, they have hyperlinks back to their website, and they're talking about all the ways you should be managing your virtual assistants and make sure that you manage them with our software. So, you know, they do some light sales in the ebook, and that provides them a huge amount of leads back to their database. So you can create a free product and give it out. Just make sure that you're continuing to seed what you do and how to get in touch with you all the way through the free product. The last thing you can do, which costs you nothing, is create a webinar. A webinar, which is essentially a PowerPoint or a keynote presentation, and you can sell something. What's free to sell? Sell a teleconference or a webinar training on your expertise. So you create a webinar, you then give it to a joint venture partner, or I shall say, you give them a link for people to go to your webinar, you deliver your webinar, and on your webinar, you sell a teleconference, which costs you nothing, or a webinar. Naturally, you can use to deliver, you can use instantteleseminar.com or, you know, GoToMeeting or any one of these great teleseminar, teleconference, or webinar services. I highly recommend that if you do this, which is a great way to generate money and generate leads, that you sell it for under $500, because it is shown that 500 and under is a much easier way to convert on a webinar. Okay? And of course, you would give the joint venture partner a percentage of the sales that you make. So you might give them 50% of anything you make. If you sell it for $500, they get $250 a lead, they're happy, you're happy, and nobody had to spend any money to do this. All right, let's jump on to way number seven. Way number seven is what I call the three-foot rule, or we'll call it the one-meter rule if you're into meters. And I particularly love this way of generating juicy deals, because this is about just meeting new people. And, you know, if you believe, which I do, that nothing is an accident, then I end up meeting the coolest, most interesting people and have amazing things happen to me in the most random places. So I have just learned that I better just talk to everyone everywhere, including when I'm traveling on a plane, when I'm out having lunch, having dinner, and I'll give you a couple of examples. But let's go through how to execute well on this. First step to the three-foot rule, or the one-meter rule. This means talk to everyone. Okay, that's your first line there on the slide. Talk to everyone around you. Get used to just talking to everyone. You are surrounded by amazing people that have awesome opportunities and connections all day long. Even if you don't think you are, let me just be direct with you, you're wrong. You can never ever judge a book by its cover. You never know who you're around and who they're connected to or how they can help you. So talk to everyone. And I want you to, and I know this is a couple simplistic things here, but make sure you start with a smile, okay? Start with a smile, be nice and friendly, and I love to start off with a little compliment. I give a compliment. And this just kicks off a nice conversation with a total stranger. You know, we would call this a cold lead, right? Because they have no idea who you are. They think, you know, they could think that you could be an axe murderer, right? So we got to start with a smile, give a nice compliment, and engage them in a light and friendly way. Whether you're getting a coffee in line somewhere, or getting a juice, or whether you're at the restaurant, you lean over to the table next to you, start with a smile, give them a compliment, casual and nice and friendly. Then I want you to start by engaging the conversation about finding out, so find out how you could help them or who you can connect them to. So you immediately start with what we call palm down networking. In other words, you start by saying, hey, how can I help you? So just imagine this, you're out at a restaurant, you're standing in line waiting to be seated by the hostess, and you're standing in line there and you look at the person next to you, you give them a big smile, you give them a nice compliment, wow, what a beautiful scarf you have on, where did you get that? And you chat for a second and you go, cool, what do you do? Interesting. Oh, you know, I have a friend that maybe you should talk to. I think there'd be somebody perfect for you to talk to. And you say, why don't you give me your contact information? I'll get you connected. Well, this immediately starts creating emotional equity. I'll give you two different places I did this. I sat down on a flight. There was one time when I was traveling with my partner, Alessia, and we were traveling in the States on an airline called Southwest. And we got in just before the flight took off, and there was no assigned seating, so we got separated on the seats, which was a little annoying because we like to sit next to each other, talk about business and life while we travel. But whatever, we made the best of it. So we got separated from the seats, and I sit down in a middle seat, and I sit down next to a woman, give her a big smile. You know, she's nice. She thinks I'm a little weird at first because I give her a big smile, and I give her a nice compliment. You know, she had a really beautiful pen she was using, and I said, what a beautiful pen. Where did you get that? You like nice pens? We just started chatting, you know, just original chatting. So then I start talking about what she does. Well, it turns out she is the head of the business school of Stanford Business School in the States. And I thought, well, wow, this is awesome because wouldn't it be great to give some lectures at Stanford? I don't know about you, but I thought that might be a nice credibility booster and certainly a great way to network into some good things and also just be connected to Stanford, which is a great brand and a great school. So we're chit-chatting, but instead of me saying, hey, let me pitch you on how I could come in and you could help me and do all sorts of stuff, I said, hey, what are you up to in your world right now and how can I help you? Well, she was so surprised by that because so few people even asked that first, that she, of course, immediately turned the conversation around quickly and said, well, you know, what do you do and how can I help you? Naturally, we set up an opportunity to talk and we set up a speaking engagement, and that was the way I started speaking at Stanford. Next on this list here is networking functions and conferences. You must put yourself in the place where there are networking functions and where there are conferences, okay, or anywhere people are gathering. I'll give you a separate story, which doesn't have to do with functions and conferences, but it's along the same lines. Alessia and I were out at dinner. We were in South Beach, Florida. We were having some meetings down in South Beach, and we went out to the Delano Hotel, which was, I think, a hotel that Madonna was one of the investors in. Wanted to take her out for a nice evening. They have a beautiful Italian restaurant there. So we went and we sat down at an Italian restaurant. And while we were there, we ordered the octopus appetizer. Well, two tables over from us were these two gentlemen, very nicely dressed. I could hear a little bit of their conversation. They sounded like they were talking about some interesting things in the financial world. And I didn't know who they were, but I was curious and I'm nosy. That's just my style. And they ordered the octopus too. So when they got it, I turned over to them while they started eating and I said, how is the octopus? We just ordered this appetizer. You know, just creating a little bridge of rapport there. And funny enough, one of the guys cuts off a piece of the octopus and hands me a fork with the octopus on it to try it. Okay, well, immediately, you know, we were engaged. Big smile, asked him how it was, just engaged him. Well, from there, it turns out these guys are two huge financial VC investors, and we started talking about the possibility of them investing in a business that I own that has nothing to do with the training industry. And now we're in conversations about that. So, my goodness, never discount the 3-foot or 1-meter rule. There are so many people around you that are just connected all over the place, which I want you to jump down to actually the bottom one in this slide, which is socialize in more upscale places. And that was essentially what that was. We often will go to upscale places. And when we do, I look around for who I can be connecting with and networking with. You know, it doesn't matter how successful you are in the world. You're always looking to move the ball forward in some realm. These days, I spend a lot of time looking for how I can support the charities and how I can expand more in our charity development and help more of the funds that we support. So just like, I remember when I had dinner with Richard Branson, I said to him, you know, what is your biggest challenge? And he said, money. And I said, how could it be money? He said, yeah, I can't get enough of it to help everyone I want in the world. So too, well, no matter how successful you are, if you're playing a big enough game, you should be talking to everybody and continuing to find people that you can support and be supported by. So to just fill in this last line, it's the second to last line in your slide here. The last great suggestion I have for you around the 3-foot rule is go to free events like seminars and you know, events. Or if you want to be a little more upscale version of that, buy a VIP ticket at these events and hang out in the VIP rooms, because the VIP people at free events are often, you know, up to cool stuff. You know, I don't want to say they're better or anything like that, because they're not. You know, there's cool people in the free events that are not VIPs, but you just tend to get an interesting mix of people that are up to cool stuff in the VIP rooms. And having done over 1,000 events in 12 different countries, I can just tell you that the people who sign up for our VIP lunches and spend VIP time with us, they're always up to some cool stuff, or at least willing to engage and have great resources. All right, way number 8. Okay, way number 8 is actually one of my all-time favorite things, because it's so, let's call it socially entrepreneurial. And this is what it is. It's partner with a charity. This is so often just completely overlooked by business owners, and I love this one. And it's great because not only can you get great things out of a partnership with a charity for your own business, but at the same time, you're helping some group or some, you know, some suppressed group, or, you know, some group having problems with the environment or children or animals or something. You're doing something awesome with a cause, and you have an incredible partnership that has a lot of power to help create opportunity for you. And again, this is one of those no-cost, high-leverage ways to get juicy deals. So here's what I suggest. I want you to do some socially entrepreneurial activities with a charity partner. And what that means is you need to select a charity partner that you're passionate about, because charity partners, whether they are, it doesn't matter really who it is or what it is, just choose something that you're passionate about. But charity partners often have great connections. And so they're wonderful places to network to other really interesting people that are up to super cool things in the world. When you have business owners or other professionals or just general people engaged in a cause, there's great bonding that happens. You often meet really interesting, cool people, people you just love because they're up to cool things in the world. And it's a great way to network and meet people that you can do other outside business with. So not only do they have great connections because they bring great people together, one of the connections is often that charities leverage celebrities and celebrity contacts, or let's say high-profile people in their industries for events that they're doing. So it's a great way to meet high-profile people. And I'll tell you that the work that we've done over the years with people, you know, like Sir Richard Branson, we connected with him around charity, did Virgin Unite work. Amnesty International is a group we often work with, and got connected to Bill Clinton through that. Tony Blair, when we were working on things like UNICEF and in Greenpeace. So these were great ways to meet very high-profile people, get to know them, and have a, you know, have a background of relatedness. Because, you know, honestly, if you're not a major celebrity or uber celebrity, and of course nobody is until they are, which means that as they're coming up the ranks or building their businesses or building their profiles, they're not uber celebrities. They're just, you know, regular people like, you know, all of us. And as we build up our profile and we have access to those uber celebrities, a lot of times it's hard to find a particular platform of relatedness, like a rapport. You know, what do you say to Bill Clinton when you meet him for the first time? And he was the, you know, former president of the United States, and you're you, right? And that's how I felt. What do you say to Sir Richard Branson when you're having dinner with him? And he's like one of the most famous characters in the whole world. Well, this platform of charity and social entrepreneurship really brings everybody down to a very human level. Why? Because we are all humans, obviously. And when we care about things that are going on, like major issues in the world that are much bigger than any individual, it just sort of equalizes the energy in the room. And you can sit down with someone who's an uber celebrity, have a conversation about a very, very big problem in the world. For example, you know, water problems in Pakistan, something we would talk to Richard about. You know, unemployment in South Africa, something he's working on with his entrepreneurial centers. Or there was, you know, trafficking issues, human trafficking issues in Colombia, or women entrepreneurship issues in India. And we connect with these very high profile people, sit down and talk with them about these problems, and their real humanity would come out. So it'd be a great way to create good connections and good rapport with people that I probably would have otherwise felt relatively intimidated by and wouldn't really know how to create some sort of relationship with them. It also creates a nice way to say, hey, let's do more together. Let's figure out more ways we can help the world, because it's pretty hard for them to say, no thanks, I'm not interested in helping anymore. They're always interested. And as long as you are a credible person, you show up as credible and trustworthy, and they don't think you're going to hurt their brand, they will often connect you with their leaders of their charity, or stay in touch or engage in a project that you're doing that is a charitable contribution somehow. Now, another cool thing about charities in themselves is they can often fund their own events. So they are a functioning business, right? And they're bringing in money all the time, and they have to be doing events in order to raise money for their charity. So they're funding events all the time. And if you're involved with a funded event, it often will probably be something relatively cool. It'll probably have dozens or hundreds or maybe even thousands of people if it's a large enough event. And you can be part of that and don't have to put in any of the money. So going to their events and being part of it more as either a staff or as a volunteer or somebody that's a bit more of an organizer will put you in front of people in a high-profile event without you having to, you know, really show up with a lot of money or show up with a lot of maybe huge credibility and background if you're building your profile. Now, I want to recommend that you use a charity that is a bit more recognized in the world. And look, it's a bit of a positioning and a leveraging technique. I don't want to necessarily say don't work with smaller charities. We have certainly done work with really small, unrecognized charities that are doing awesome work in the world, and that was just a personal choice. But since this particular training is about how to leverage your time and energy into some really juicy deals, I just have to be honest that the more highly recognized the brand is of the charity, well, the more likely you're going to be able to open more doors, get in contact with higher profile people, and have higher visibility, like in the media and things like that. All right, way number nine. Let's jump over to way number nine on this slide. Way number nine is to publish an article online. And publishing an article online is very easy. All you need to do is you want to source a brand online that has the right target markets. So, for example, if you are interested in reaching out to business owners, then you will essentially, you could work with Entrepreneur Magazine, for example. You could go to online e-magazines or online business magazines. You can go to The Economist online. And the great thing about an online article is it costs you nothing to publish, and typically they want as much content as they can get because they need content for their online e-magazines, right? So what I want you to do is I want you to consider starting to write a online article maybe once a month and publish an online article. And here's the reason why. Not only is it great to do it, but you can also, not only can you get leads through the article because they have a huge distribution reach, but you can also go back onto your Facebook page and say, hey, everybody, check out this new article I just wrote. So in this article, I want you to give a concrete 5-to-8-step formula to achieve some sort of result. So in other words, it needs to be a concrete formula that gives some sort of steps that are useful. For example, I was working with a private client of ours in our coaching mentorship, and they were looking to create case studies, and they had never created one. So I said, well, okay, let's go online and we'll look up a good formula for case studies because, I didn't necessarily have anything offhand. So I said, let's go look for something. What did I find? I found an online published article in some online magazine, The 8 Ways to Create a Perfect Case Study. And it gave the 8 steps to do it. And it was nice and simple and concrete and clear. Of course, the person who wrote it had their picture. They were personally branded. And they had all sorts of little seeding about how you could find out more about their company. Next, I want you to be able to submit this. Another thing is you can leverage this article because you can submit it to a few different e-magazines. That means you can go out to 4 or 5 or 6 different e-magazines, e-zines, and you can ask them to publish it, and you might get 2 or 3 to go and publish it. Very often you have a high publishing rate because e-magazines, online magazines, need content. So they usually turn down very little as long as it's professionally written and it's well done. The last thing in a published article is you want to have a strong call to action. In other words, make sure you're saying to people, if you want more information, go to this link and please send them to a landing page and not your web page. Send them to a targeted landing page or something that's specific. Now, if you're not allowed to have a targeted call, or it's a strong call to action because of the magazine's rules and regulations, then make sure you seed your product and service and how to get in contact with you throughout the entire thing. Or just make sure your contact information is on there, of course, because that's the whole reason for it. Okay, number 10. Let's go to way number 10. Way number 10 is to partner with a business partner. And this is often, people don't even think about this one, but you may want a business partner. A business partner can often bring a lot of juicy deals to you. If you're in investing, if you're in MLM, if you're in business, if you're a consultant, a coach, bringing on a separate business partner that really helps you where you're not as strong is a very valuable way to get exposure. So the first thing you do is you want to identify your strengths and your weaknesses. And, you know, business partners are, to me, they're essentially like a marriage. I mean, you spend, you know, so much time with this person. You have to trust this person. You have to, you know, engage with them in many intimate, you know, issues around your life and your business. So a business partner to me is really a lot about, you know, finding someone that is, it's a, you know, what we call a business marriage, right? So identifying your strengths and weaknesses, or what we call a SWOT analysis, your strengths and weaknesses, opportunities and threats. Your strengths and weaknesses especially are important because I actually think you should be finding a business partner that is weak where you're strong and strong where you're weak. Obviously, that would be the best. If you bring on a business partner that's strong where you're strong and weak where you're weak, well, that doesn't really help supplement, you know, what you need done. Now, there are three areas that are very vital for businesses, and you want to make sure that your business partner is bringing these one, at least one of these three, or, you know, all three, which is talent is the first one. Do they have a talent or skill set that's going to really help your business become better or grow? In other words, look, you may be, you know, basically doing everything all alone, and you may say, look, I hate cold calling, or I hate marketing, I hate sales, you know, I'm in this course because I know I should be doing it, but I really hate it. In which case, it might be time to bring on a business partner that is really a marketing or sales champion that you could identify as your weakness and bring on someone as a strength. Now, on the other side of things, it might be a great strength of yours to be doing marketing and sales, or you love it, or you want it to be something, you know, really great for you as a talent. In which case, maybe your weakness is either fulfillment or structuring things or being productive enough to get enough marketing and sales time. You love to do it, but you're finding you're not having enough time. So you could bring in somebody with great talents in structuring and productivity to help you free up your time to be essentially doing just what your strengths are. The second thing after talent is money. Do you need money? Maybe money can help you accelerate your marketing or help you get more exposure to better deals. The third thing is contacts. So when you look for a business partner, look for someone who would have great talent, great money, or great contacts, because these are all vital to a business. My advice around this is date before getting married. Now, this may be obvious, but I can't tell you how many business partnerships get established because things feel really good. They love the person. They're like, hey, it's all warm and fuzzy, and we're going to get started. We're going to become business partners right away. In tons of experience, let me tell you, don't do that. It rarely works out well. Date before you get married. Do some deals together. Spend some time together. I recommend 6 months as a minimum that you'd use for dating in the business world. You know, Jeff, who I co-started and co-founded Industry Rockstar with, Jeff Slater, he and I did real estate deals together for about 2 or 3 years before we became business partners. And there is a little saying that I picked up, I think it's from Keith Cunningham, who was a mentor of ours. And Keith, he was also, you know, he used to lead Wealth Mastery for Tony Robbins, very, very brilliant man. He would always say, pick the people before you pick the deal. Or pick the people before you pick the business. And that's very true. I often find that we want to pick the right people before we pick the deals. So obviously you want to find somebody that you love and you trust and you can do work with, but you have to still date them before you get married, metaphorically in the business world. The next thing is you need to properly decide how much equity to divide between the two of you. And it's not always 50-50. So just keep that in mind. You know, if you're thinking, well, I don't want to bring in a business partner because then I got to divide up my business or give away half of it. Well, it's not always the case. You don't have to give away 50-50. It depends on what they're bringing in. Just know that you don't always have to give away half. And I see so many times people come in and say, well, I brought in a business partner. I gave him half of my business. And I said, well, why did you do that? And they said, well, that's what you do, right? You bring in a business partner, you give him half. And I go, well, no. You can give him 5%. You can give him 10%. You can give him 15%. It depends on what it is that they're bringing in. That's a value. And you decide that together between the two of you. Now, if it's your business and you're bringing them in, you could offer it to them. You could say, hey, I'm looking for a business partner. I'm offering 10% of my business, and here's what I'm looking for that business partner to do. The last thing is that equity, what I just talked about, giving away equity, that's different than cash distribution. So when you're finding a business partner, remember, you can offer them a little bit of equity in your business or in your investments or in whatever you're doing, but you can also separately offer them cash flow distributions. So you may want to offer them very little equity, like 2 or 5%, but you may split the cash with them. Or you may do a deal where if they find a deal, they get a certain percentage for finding the deal, and then they also get some percentage of cash plus a little percentage of equity. Look, it's totally up to you. You get to be creative. But the essence that I want you to know is that equity is different than cash distribution. So when looking for a business partner, you can negotiate them differently. Let's go on to way number 11. Okay. Way number 11 is another way that so few businesses, especially small businesses, actually use. and it's called Form a Board of Advisors. A board of advisors is a little bit like an advanced version of bringing in a partner into your business. In other words, a board of advisors, what is a board of advisors? A board of advisors is usually a group of people that you bring on and you give some equity to. So you're going to give away some equity in exchange for talent, advice, and or connections. These people that you put on your board of advisors are usually people that have industry experience, they usually have great connections, and they can help you expand into juicy deals very quickly. See, I believe it's better to be a smaller fish in a big pond. And what that means is essentially I would rather give away equity in my business and own less to have my business grow massively. And I've done this in almost every business. You know, I don't believe that I need to own, you know, 99% of everything or 100% of everything or even 50%. Sometimes I've brought in investors or venture capital and ended up with 10 or 15 or 20% of my business. But the business was huge and it grew massively, so I was totally happy with that. Now, normally, a business will have between 2 to 5 advisors on the board. So you can choose 2 to 5 people, professionals, that you would like to bring in. And it is normal to give away a 0.5% to 2% per advisor. Now, they have responsibilities, of course, right? You don't just bring them in and give them equity or give them cash flow of the business. You bring them in because you want them to help you expand and reach out to more juicy deals. In other words, you might bring in 2 or 3 people in your industry that have great contacts and connections. Well, if you went to them and you just said, can you refer me to your contacts and connections? They may go, well, I don't know, what's in it for me? So if you put them on your advisory board, you can say, well, I'll tell you what's in it for you. My success will be your success, and not just with you, but with all the other 3 or 5 advisors that I'm bringing on, plus all of the hundreds of other clients I bring in. In other words, if you help me get a leg up and get connected to more juicy deals, I'll give you 2% of my business or 1% of my business, and that means all revenue I bring in all year long, you'll get an equity stake and a cash flow percentage on. And if I happen to sell the business, which many of you might sell your business, you're going to actually get a distribution payout from the sale. This is very powerful. I want you to take this one very seriously because most small business, I'm going to guess that almost nobody on this call probably has a board of advisors. And this is one of the first things I do with all my company is I bring on a board of advisors. Now, even if you're in investments, you might consider starting an investment business and bringing in advisors on your investments and your investment business rather. Therefore, any investments you're doing, any cash flow you're creating, a success, you're still giving away some of it. Okay, way number 12. Way number 12 is to interview key people. This is the last way we'll talk about it. I know we skipped the way number 8. Oh my goodness, I had to find it. I don't know what happened in the printout. But let's go with way number 12. At least we got 11 powerful ways here, and I will add the last one up onto the forum. Way number 12 is to interview key people. This means reach out to people in your industry and say you'd like to interview them. Again, totally free. Doesn't cost you anything. Tell them you're releasing a new product. You could be releasing a book, you could be releasing a, you know, audio program, a video program, whatever you want to release, whatever you're inspired to release, release a new program. And tell them that you'd like to interview them for this new program. Use a specific theme and find suitable people for that theme. So in other words, if you're going to be doing a niche-specific interview, go out and find niche-specific people. I'll give you an example. Alessia is launching her brand right now called Women in Power, something she's working on herself, which is to support and engage women entrepreneurs. She's working on her book right now, which is called Women in Power, where she's going to be loading it chock full of all the things and techniques that she used to build her 7 businesses throughout Europe, you know, totaling 30 million euro a year in turnover. So she's been very successful and done a wonderful job. And she had some very specific techniques and systems and, you know, strategies for how she did that. Now, she just has a particular love and interest in supporting women entrepreneurs these days. So she's releasing products and books where she wants to be engaging women entrepreneurs. So what did she do? The first thing she did is she went out and she looked for women that she could interview who were key women who resonated with that target market. So she went out and found women that were great entrepreneurs or great leaders in the industry, or essentially what she would define as women in a powerful position, and she started interviewing them, no cost, and helps her start to locate and interact with juicy databases and juicy deals. You can create a podcast on iTunes. So very simply, if you want some distribution, you go out and you interview people and you record them and you create a podcast that can then get released and listened to on iTunes. Or you can distribute your own podcast online. There's a number of podcast softwares. They're very inexpensive. You can get them up and get them going and just start releasing your podcasts You can go to your Facebook page and then say, hey, check out this new podcast I just did, this new interview. What's a podcast if you've never done one? It's just a recording. It's basically a radio show. You created your own radio show. And the last thing to know is that an audio video recording through Skype is totally fine. I've done this many times. I used to interview people all the time when we first got started. It's a great way to create a first product for yourself where you create a great set of relationships, you create good databases, you create good joint venture partners, because guess what the interview people want to do with you after they get done? They want to do joint ventures with you because they like what you're up to. And doing it through Skype, if they're located in other parts of the world, is a great way to do it for cheap or free, essentially. I guess it's just free. We'll just call it free. But that way you don't have to travel there. They don't have to travel, and you can just do everything on Skype. You can record on Skype through the call recorder, which is a built-in function, totally free. And it allows you to record the videos and the audios of anything you're doing. Okay, wow. I realized that was a lot of ideas and a lot of content, but I wanted to get you kicked off with this 6-month revenue acceleration program with tons of ways to go start getting juicy deals. So flip to the next slide. I'm going to give you your 2-week challenge. And every time we do these calls, you're going to have your 2-week challenge. A 2-week challenge is going to challenge you to put all of the stuff we just talked about into action, because all this stuff is just information unless you're actually in action with it. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to identify at least one of these things that I talked about and work it, baby. Okay, get out there and start working it. So choose one thing that you feel comfortable and you like and get out there and start working it. If you want to create a board of advisors, get out there and start creating that board of advisors. You want to start cold calling, do it. You want to start doing referrals, get it done. Just work it. Your target is to create 3 new deals between now and the next call. If you're getting stopped, if you're unsure, if you're engaged and you don't know what you're doing or anything, or if any challenges or anything that comes up, get on the forum and start tapping away, letting us know what's going on and let us help you. The entire group is there to support you. Your target is to close 1 new deal in the next 2 weeks using this technique. Okay? So identify one technique you want to work on and work it. Create 3 new opportunities or 3 new deals on the table and close 1 of them. That is your mission should you choose to accept it, and I want you to, because I want you in action during this. I want to hear about the great results you're getting. That's what this is all about, is results, not about content or information. These things are not theory. These things that I've actually done in my businesses to grow them all, but none of them meant anything until I got out there and did them on a daily, yes, that's right, daily basis. You need to set aside daily time to be marketing and selling every single day. Now, okay, you take a day or two off for the weekend, I get it, but every single business day. Okay, the very last slide, we'll give you the information on our next call, the 6-month revenue accelerator call number 2, which will be part two of locating juicy deals, will be January 29th at 11 a.m. GMT or London time. And in that call, I'm gonna be going through breaking down each of these things slightly more technically and how to execute on each one. I'm going to open up the lines real quickly here for any quick questions that you came up with, and we'll do about 5 minutes of questions. I realize we're running over time, but, you know, we had a lot to say, so we're rolling with it.
Kane, it's Fiona.
Hey, Fiona, how are you?
Hi, how are you? Good. Just a quick question. We're talking about giving people power. How do you actually do that? How do you put that in a very low-key Scottish way, because it's not a normal Scottish way to say to somebody, I'd like to give you something.
How do you give them something free? Was that the question?
Yeah, well, just saying to them, I'd like to help you, and offering people some power. How do you actually do that? How do you put that into a Scottish phraseology? That's what I'm trying to say.
So let me give you the phrases that I use. So I typically say to them, hey, what big game or what are you really up to that you feel challenged by right now in your business or your life? So I just ask them, what are you up to right now? What's a big game for you in life? And if they don't understand the term game, you could just say, what's a big project you're working on right now that you're really looking to achieve? And then when they tell me, I might say to them, okay, what do you need next to move that forward? Or what do you need next to solve the biggest challenges or the key frustrations that you have? Then when they tell you, they've told you what they need. So then you go into your own world of your database and your resources and you say, okay, how do I help them? Can I, who do I know essentially that can help them? And you just start offering them help. Hey, you know what? You should talk to my friend, John, who's a great internet marketer, because it sounds like what you really need is more exposure. Can I get you guys connected? you know, it's very unlikely they're not going to appreciate that. It's very unlikely they wouldn't say yes. I mean, who wouldn't say yes for help to accelerate what they're up to?
Thank you.
You got it.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Other questions that came up?
Hi there, King.
Hi. Who's this? Is that Chris?
It's Chris.
Hey, Chris.
Quick question on Board of Advisors. How does this differ to having a business partner or a couple of business partners? And how do you go about choosing your advisor? Is it the same date before you marry type of methods?
Yes. Okay. Great question. So in terms of a advisory board, which I'll go through actually a little bit more specifically about sourcing all that next time. But from a board of advisors, look, you want to find people that you have a good relationship with because they're going to be advising you. You probably would want to engage them. Usually they've been people that you've kind of known in the past a little bit. They're not usually fresh, but they could be. You could go fresh out and say, look, I'm looking for an advisory team and put them on the advisory board. In which case I'd spend maybe, you know, a few weeks getting to know them before you put them on the advisory board. Now, the cool thing about the advisory board is you can always change them. They can always be voted out, or you can just shift them or fire them. You can have essentially in the agreement, you can rotate your advisors. And, you know, they can be on the board, advisors, let's say, for a year or 2 years. So what's a little different than a business partner is if you put a business partner in the business, they're going to own part of the business. And typically, you can't just get rid of them. You have to buy the business out from them. An advisory board member is a little bit more flexible. Now, it doesn't mean you want to willy-nilly choose them, but it does mean that you don't necessarily have to be so concerned about, you know, if you pick someone and they end up, you know, not doing any work or not really contributing that much, you can usually go back to them and say, look, we love to give your equity over to someone else right now. You don't seem to be contributing that much. We appreciate what you did in the beginning, but we'd like to, you know, keep growing the company. Are you okay with that? And usually it all works out. So to answer your question, sourcing them, which I'll go through a little bit more next time, you want to source people in your network that you feel have good contacts. If you don't have any, then you could just be cold calling, and it's just a matter of getting people on the phone and saying you're building an advisory board. You want to know if they would be curious to talk more about it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Cool. We'll take one or two more questions and then wrap it up. Any other questions? Okay, no worries. I know it was a lot to digest. So enjoy. I hope you guys enjoyed the content. Let me know on the forum if you had any questions, if you have any thoughts as you start to process all the information. Let us know how you're doing. Keep us up to date. We want to know about your wins. We want to know about your challenges. That's why we're here in this group together. We want to support you. Have a wonderful couple weeks, and I will talk to you at the next call. Okay? Have a great time, everybody, and get out there and be in action. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye.